We now welcome on the call the head coach at UAlbany, Greg Gattuso. Good morning, Greg.
Hey, Rob. How are you today?
I'm well. I hope you are, too. Congratulations to you and your guys. Really complete and impressive performance against Richmond, 41-13 win on Saturday. What did you like most about how your team played?
I thought we played very well. I thought we played well within what we were trying to do with our game plan. The quarterback was, excellent. His ability to get out of trouble and make plays is really strong. And the defense just continues to play very well. I thought they were just physical. You know, we were able to shut their running game completely down and force them to be one dimensional. And the pressure and the hits and the physicality was important in that game, and it showed up. So overall, it was a team from our conference. It's a champion to get a win like that was great for us and was a great day at Albany.
I know you talk often about trying to create pressure on the quarterback and create havoc, and you got 5 sacks, but you also had 10 quarterback hurries, which led to some turnovers. That's a pretty experienced offensive line, and you were talking about how big Wickersham is. What were you able to do so well to be able to get to him and cause some of that pressure?
Well, we knew they were going to throw some short game. They had some success with the underneath stuff, which we have to give a little bit up there. But I think the key to the whole thing was getting them as one-dimensional as possible. And I think, we start the game out with a sack. And that just kind of sets a tone. Elijah Hills breaks through and gets him on the ground. But the pressure was there all game. It was very physical, and it was very, we were able to hit both quarterbacks consistently, and it causes overthrows and underthrows and things like that. And it's a big part of it. Those guys can rush the passer. And I think, for our success on defense, we need our front four to play well. And they did in that game. And the linebackers were involved as well, too.
Offensively, you got off to a great start with especially with Griffin running the ball before you even opened up the passing game. We've talked a little bit about his evolution, but just talk about the game that he had Saturday and how important it was to get the ground game going.
Yeah, he only ended up with 13 carries, but 96 yards and played very well and picked up blitzes where they were. He's just a good all-around back. It was a weird statistical game. When you look at the stats, you kind of walk out of there like, what was this? And time of possession. I mean, we were down like 21 to 9.5 or something like that in the first half, but we're well in control of the game. I think, we made consecutive mistakes right at the end of the half and the beginning of the third quarter that kind of set us back a little bit, but we recovered quickly. And, when they did have drives, we had 2 stops inside the red zone, which is huge in games like that. Even, they missed the field goal, and then we were able to sack them on a 4th and 5. So, that the defense is tough, and we're good in the red zone and have been good in the red zone. We're just really excited, around it. Obviously this is for Albany's uncharted territory in this program, and we feel really good about it. But we're excited about what's on the horizon and to go to Idaho and play a top-notch football team.
Question this morning from Mark Singlis. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Good morning, Greg. I was curious, being put in that 10 p.m. ESPN Plus slot while the other 3 quarterfinals are ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, was there any chatter about that, or did you feel it all overlooked to put in that spot?
Not really. We don't really worry about too much of that. I mean, we just want to play. We're excited about the game. When you watch their game, you had 2 good teams playing. You're kind of like, okay, we're going to get a home game. Oh no, it's going to be a away game. Who knows? Back and forth. And so I think once that field goal got blocked and Idaho won in overtime, we're real focused on playing them and playing that game and looking forward to the trip. We're well traveled. I can say that, and we'll handle whatever they throw at us in the travel plans, just like we have all year.
Do you have any thoughts on why typically the balance of power in FCS? Not to say there aren't good Eastern teams like yourselves, but the balance of power usually seems to be out west in FCS. Do you have any thoughts on why that is, Greg?
I think the Big Sky is really good, and Missouri Valley is really good. I think the CAA teams have been good too. I don't really have any. I think sometimes it can be what's invested in programs. Sometimes it can be financially. It could be a lot of things, but they're good football programs, and they have great fan bases that when you go to their, you see those games on TV, and you see all those Montana filled up in a snowstorm. And, I remember our trip to Montana State. I mean, I literally was applauding their fans walking off the field. They were impressive. And so they have rabid fan bases that support their teams. And, you know, our crowd wasn't gigantic Saturday, but I will say this, that was the most into a football game, loud group of people, barking with our kids on the sidelines and having a good time at the game but that's how you start a fan base, is success breeds attendance. And we need to continue to try to stack good seasons so our fans can get into it. And I think Saturday, that was a great environment for, I know the numbers weren't high, but the fan involvement was outstanding.
Thanks.
Sure.
Next question from Adam. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, Greg. You mentioned being well-traveled and adding it up. You guys will hit close to 10,000 miles of travel this week when you head out to Idaho. How has this season and this schedule that you guys have faced prepared you for this moment?
Well, I always thought I'd travel when I retire. So I guess I got a good start here with someday when I, as I close, get close to my retirement age, I'll be used to traveling. But the kids are just, we're so focused on just playing the game. I would tell people when we walked off the field at Marshall, I felt like I knew we had something. And when they got back from Hawaii, the energy they had that off week was really amazing to me. And it's just, if people ask me who you want, of course we want to play a home game. We'd love to play a home game, but we're excited about this trip. We're excited about this game. It's just been a great season. And it's when you get into this, people wonder why you coach some days when the bad seasons are there and people are yelling at you and in the fans and in the seats. And but this is what we coach for, is the excitement of competing at a high level and to be around a group of kids like this. So the travel doesn't bother us. We're fine. We're going to get there and relax a little bit and get some practice in and go out and play a tough game. Someone said something about, the 10 o'clock game, is that going to affect your play? I mean, like, these guys don't go to bed at 10, 11, 12 o'clock. We don't care about that. That's Eastern time. We'll be fine, so we're just excited about getting there and playing a really good football team in a really cool atmosphere. So we're looking forward to it.
And, talking about seeing Idaho Saturday night for that first day, what was your first evaluation when you saw that Southern Illinois game?
I think both teams were good. That was a slugfest. The defenses played well and there were big plays. And, I think, we've struggled a little bit in a couple areas in our special teams lately, and they're good in both of those areas. They got great returners at Idaho. So it wasn't like you sit there and watch those games. It's weird because you're not really cheering for anybody. You know what I mean? You're just kind of watching. I walked out of it with, there's some really good talent on both sides. And it was a heck of a football game, fun to watch. And we're looking forward to our shot to go out there and play.
Greg, just taking a quick look at Idaho offensively, pretty balanced team. Giovanni McCoy with over 2,600 yards passing. They got a 1,000-yard running back and a 1,000-yard receiver. As you look at their offense, what are some of the challenges for your top-ranked defense?
No, they're good. They spread the ball around. They have a little old school in them. They want to run the football. They huddle some, but football is always about. The start point is quarterbacks on offense, and they have a really good one. I mean, I watch him play, and he reminds me a lot. He and Reese have similarities in how they play and what they do. They have great size at receiver. They've got a couple of guys, a 6'2 and a 6'3 guy running around, and some speed with number one, who's an excellent football player. So, they're good. And then the running backs are really good. They're physical. I'm watching these guys picking up blitzes in the hole and stuff like that. They're good football. They're a good team. They're very well coached. It's funny that, I know the head coach was an offensive lineman, and you can see it, that offensive line's really well coached, and they're young, like we are up front on offense, but they're coached and do a great job of identifying movements and different things. So it's going to be a big challenge for our defense. But we've played some of the best FCS offenses in the country this year and played pretty well most of the way. And we're looking forward to the challenge.
Before I let you go, you talked about what a cool environment that'll be playing in a dome inside. Anything you can do or anything different to get ready for that?
I'm just going to yell at him a lot more this week. You know, and I'm going to stand right behind Reese and yell at him. Now, one great thing is Casey Stadium has a heck of a speaker system. Like, you know, when we practice in camp, sometimes in the morning we get neighbor complaints because the music's really loud when we're practicing. So we're going to crank the music up. We're going to, you know, we'll get Reese indoors throwing some this week. And, you know, we got a good plan in place to get ready to go up there and put our best foot forward.
Got one more from Mark. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, Greg, you played in domes a couple of years ago, right? Syracuse and North Dakota State. I know some of your kids didn't play on those teams, but does that help you at all, that previous dome experience?
Yeah, you know, I never really thought it mattered, to be honest, other than the nice thing is there's no wind and there's no rain, which we love. You know, I mean, it's for us to get a day with no wind to throw the ball around is fun, you know. So, I don't know. I played in domes. I played outside. I think I don't really know any difference. Sometimes I'm sure it'll be loud. And obviously we'll be working on controlling how we communicate. But the energy that a home crowd gives, I think it helps everybody because it makes the game more enjoyable. It makes it a challenge, but it's electric in those type of atmospheres. And, you know, we went to North Dakota State and played, and they were coming off a national championship, won a national championship the year we played them. And we went up there and played, I thought, really well in that football game. We lost, but we battled. And I think our kids didn't blink one time about being in an indoor facility. It's fun. We're looking forward to it. It's better than playing them outside up there. I don't know if the weather, they were showing shots of the Kibbe Dome on the game Saturday, and it's snowing pretty hard. So, you know, we'd rather be in there than out in the snow with them.
All right, Greg. Thanks so much for doing this today. Safe travels to Idaho. Good luck on Saturday, and I hope we're talking again next Monday.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Greg.